What's going on, Dodger fans, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Chalking It Up. I'm Ant.
And I'm Carlos, a.k.a. Desert Doyer.
Hey, and we're sorry for the delay, but we're back into this. Why? Because it's postseason baseball. It's time for Dodger baseball, and we're going to get right into the mix of things. Let's pick it up with the roster that we selected. I was a little shocked, Pop, that we left Joe Kelly off of the roster.
I wasn't. Joe Kelly just, to me, wasn't the Joe Kelly that we need. I mean, I get that a lot of people like him because of what he did to the Astros with the pouty face.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Kelly hasn't been dominant. He hasn't been dominant, and I don't like that. And I'm glad that he was left off the roster.
I don't know. I feel like Joe is, although he has had a bumpy season, who hasn't had a bumpy season on our current roster right now? But I feel like Joe just brings that veteran presence. That stability to the bullpen, although, hey, the postseason is its whole new thing, man. We see that the Tigers knocked off the Astros earlier in the postseason. Anything can happen. The last 2 years, we're the number one favorite, and we get knocked out in the NLDS 2 years in a row now by our rivals in the same division. So, again, the postseason is its own thing. That was probably the most surprising roster move. Well, I mean, even adding the kid, Enriquez, he only had 3 appearances and he's on the roster.
Yeah, and then to me, Michael Grove, I don't know.
Yeah, we could have gone with what other arm do you want to go with? All of our arms are really hurt.
They are, but like having Michael Grove on there, or how about CT3 on the roster? Like CT3 hasn't done anything.
Holding.
And I know a lot of people were like, well, but he did this back over here, yeah. And he did this over here. But yeah, that was in the past.
We're holding on to memories.
What have you done for us lately?
Yeah. And
lately, he hasn't been good.
Mm-hmm.
And I love CT3. Don't get me wrong. He's not like
sure.
I don't want him at all on the team. But if we can have somebody else taking that spot, I'd rather have that somebody else that's going to perform than CT3.
Yeah, man.
That's just my opinion.
Again, these are all our opinions, guys. Because, I mean, I'm sure you guys are thinking, well, who else are you going to pick? Kiermaier too. He's a solid defender in the outfield, but same thing. He doesn't have a bat like CT3 right now. So again, this is just our opinion on the roster. These were a little bit shocking moves that we did, but again, you kind of understand. I understood the Michael Grove situation. He's an innings eater. It kind of, you know, unfortunately I had to use him last night for that exact reason. So we're not burning the rest of the bullpen. But let's get into game one. So game one, we officially announced Jack Flaherty to be our starter. About 24 hours prior to that, we switch it up, and now Yoshinobu Yamamoto is our starter, going up against, I think, the San Diego Padres number one guy, Dylan Cease. What are your reactions to the swap of announcing Jack and then taking him back?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it because Dave Roberts says that the reason why they moved it,
mm-hmm,
was to have Yamamoto for game 5. I'd rather have Jack Flaherty for game 5.
You want our dog. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yama has not been what the hype was around him. I guess I know he had that really
early.
Good game in
it's
New
early.
York.
It's early. I mean, it's his first season in MLB. It's a change. It's totally different. You know, you're totally different atmosphere. You know, in Japan, all the fans are nice and polite.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get into what happened in game 2, but you know, here it's different. It's a totally different game, and I just don't think he'll settle down next year, but I'd rather have Jack Flaherty game 5.
For sure. For sure. So again, we're throwing Yama out there game 1, and then we're going up against, again, what I said. Dylan Cease, I think, is their number one starter. He is. Both of them don't go long into the game. Yama only pitched 3 innings into the game. Dylan Cease, he went, I think, 3.1. Each gave about 5 or 6 hits, and then the key difference was Dylan threw 5 Ks. Yama only struck out 1 guy. Honestly, the whole game changes in that, what, the first inning against the Manny at bat, the umpire, personally, I think that call was
a bit outside, but it was like
game changer.
It should have been called a strike. I mean, it should have been called a strike. He wasn't giving Yamamoto anything close. Mm-hmm. Anything that's border, he wasn't giving him at all.
I don't think the strike zone was apples for apples. I think we got a little bit of a tighter strike zone than what the Padres were getting. And again, it could all be based off of, you know, the movement and the pitcher and the release and, you know, where the catcher's framing. Because Will also didn't have a good game behind the plate. He had a couple pass balls. But yeah, man, I think right there, you know, as a Dodger fan, as a team, it's deflating because you give up that home run to Tatis. Okay, it's 1-0. You walk a guy or he gets the base hit. I forgot who was on before, man. I think it was Profar. No,
it was 1-0 when he came up and he had a two-run home run. So he made it 3-0.
But exactly, yeah. But I think you get out of that inning if you get that call to Manny.
Yeah.
It's only a 1-0 ball game. Yes. It's not panic mode. Even for this team, 3-0 doesn't seem that bad. But the emotion of the game as a fan, you're deflated. The stadium got quiet. You can hear a couple fans trying to get it going, chanting, "Let's go, Dodgers." But it can't be like that, especially in the postseason. I get tired of hearing, "Oh, Dodger fans show up late. They leave early. They're not as, you know, as energetic as the Phillies fans or Padres fans of lately." So, again, I think we got to do better as fans to continue that momentum. But, hey, we go down 3-0, and our Lord and Savior, Shohei Ohtani, comes back and just pimps the ball to right field. And you love to see the emotion, the drama of it, tied 3-3. Like, what are you feeling at that point?
Oh, he pumped us up, right? We were all down here watching the game. And mm-hmm. As soon as he hit that home run, the way he hit the home run,
it was gone.
It was gone. And then the way he threw the bat
mm-hmm.
at towards, I mean, I don't know if he did it intentionally or not, but he threw the bat towards the San Diego side. And man, I was pumped. I was psyched. Yep. That was a game changer right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he got everybody back into the game. Tie game, 3-3 now. Whole new ball game. And we get the pigeon change.
Yeah.
And like they said, the rest is history. I love the way he's so calm.
He is.
He's so calm. And when they asked him in the interview, "Hey, are you nervous about this being your first?" Nope. Before the guy even finished.
Yeah. He didn't even get to finish the interpretation.
Nope.
He understands.
Yeah, he understands English. Yeah, but he's like, that's what we needed from him
mm-hmm.
at that moment. And hopefully we get some from Mookie too, because where you been, Mookie?
Yeah, man. It's hard. He's like 3-for-21, 3-for-25 his last three postseasons?
0-for-6 in the series.
He crazy.
Was 0-for-11 last year against the D-backs. And then he was 2-for-21, I think, or 2-for-16
mm-hmm.
against San Diego the year before that.
Yeah, Mookie, we need you, man.
We need you to wake up, Mookie.
We cannot put the weight of the world on Ohtani, although he looks like he can handle it. We just can't do that to the guy.
And the good thing about game one also was the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, shout out.
Gavin Lux.
Yeah, man. I know I was talking mad stuff about him early in the year, but
Rojas.
Eh.
Who else was at the bottom of the lineup? Who was the third guy?
Will Smith got on. He got a couple of walks. Teo, you are clutch, my man. I hope we re-sign you. I know a lot of Dodger fans love Teoscar Hernandez.
Love his energy.
And he doesn't shy away from me either, guys. Like he said he wanted San Diego. He said he takes every game personal, and that's kind of what you want for somebody to embrace what the Dodgers are about and that rivalry with, you know, whether it's with the Giants or the Padres or the Diamondbacks. Like you want that player to have that grit. And man, Teo brings it, and he's a great 4, 5, 6 hitter for us in this lineup, man. He 30 plus home runs this year.
Yeah.
A career high for him as well. So again, man, wrapping up game one, and I have to tip my hat because I'm very critical of Dave Roberts. I like to blame him a lot because he's the one that, of course, has to take the blame when we lose. But I think he did a fabulous job, finally, managing the bullpen. Of course, like we said, Yama can only go 3 innings. So we bring in Brazier. We bring in Kopech was the only struggling pitcher that we had. We had to take him out. I think he only got one out. Blake Treinen came in and he closed it out. That was surprising to see him go out there for almost 2+ innings. Again, that was the only downfall about what Dave did. Michael has been the closer since he got here. So why bring him in?
He's not officially the closer, but he's been.
But that's been the role that he's been in.
Yeah,
he comes in, he gets the last 3 outs.
It's him and Blake that have been swapping back and out. I mean, I personally would have said, hey, but Kopech, you're a closer.
Yeah, for sure.
But then you can also say, hey, Blake, you're a closer, because they both have been pretty solid.
I think the only arm that we didn't use that game was Daniel Hudson. I think he was still in the bullpen. Oh, and Michael Grove. I think those are the only two guys.
And Enriquez didn't get used that game one either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, again, game one, we ended up closing that out. 7-5 victory. It was beautiful all the way around, the excitement. Okay.
Good start to the series.
For sure. Now, let's move on game two. It's not the greatest start again. We go down 3-0. Jack gives up a couple home runs. Wow. Freaking Profar robbing Mookie of a home run, dude.
Great catch.
It was a great catch. But as a family, we're watching this in the living room, and all of us are literally like, why didn't that fan go harder for the ball? Because once it's in like the outfield territory, you got to do your best. You're like a cornerback in the NFL, man. You got to knock that thing down. Yes. At that point, you got to understand, you got to help out the Dodgers. You throw a glove in there. You throw a hand in there. Jerkson can't hold on to it. He can't catch it. Boom. We're on the board there. And again, you could tell the guy felt a little sorry. They kept showing him on the camera. You know, I'm sure he's getting text messages like, yo, you messed up, or like, you should have done this.
Like, I got this.
Yeah, man. So again, I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I've never sat that close in the outfield to, you know, try to catch a home run. But yeah, man, right there, that was kind of like a deflating, like, damn, he robbed it. Mookie didn't even know he caught it until he was rounding second. Mookie was celebrating with the bullpen already.
Yeah, he was. He was rounding second base, and Profar was still looking at the fans, jumping up and down, and then finally turned around and threw the ball in.
Yeah, man, he was taunting us out there. He was pumped up, and he wasn't talking. He was just staring us down. I mean, you got to respect that type of energy. I mean, we would love it if Mookie did that, or Teo did that in the outfield, or whoever's playing center field, Tommy Edman. But yeah, man, so right there, that's like gut-wrenching. And it kind of blows up on Jack. The final great thing that Jack did was striking out Manny before he got pulled, and cussing him and saying, get back to the bench. I thought that was pretty cool on its own. I don't know what was said prior that made Jack kind of like go off on Manny like that.
But that's the kind of player you want. You want a dog in. You want a dog with you, right? You want somebody that's going to freaking... That's there for the team.
Yeah.
Right?
That's for sure.
Fight for this team.
And hopefully light a fire. Because honestly, game two, our bats were not there at all. Ohtani went 0 for 4. Mookie 0 for 2 or 0 for 3. And then on top of that, we're losing. We're starting to get killed a little bit. I think it's like 6-0 or 5-1, one of those scores. We pulled Freddie from the game. Freddie came out.
Yeah, he says he felt discomfort on his ankle, which is not good news.
No, it kind of scares you, because one, Freddie had a great game 1-2. I think Freddie had 2 hits, a stolen base. Freddie is doing the best he can to be out there, because he got tired of hearing what happened last year when he went like 1-for-11 or 1-for-12, whatever, or 3-for-21 combined with Mookie. You respect that he's doing everything he can to be on the field, but it is alarming. It's concerning, because the injury bug loves to stay attached to the Dodgers, and seeing Freddie pulled from the game, it's scary on its own, especially because right now your option now is Max Muncy, and he's not hitting the ball well either.
He's not. I mean, he hit a home run last night, but
that's late innings.
Yeah, like, that's like already when you're playing against the third guy on the bench.
Yeah, man.
I need him to do that when it's the starters.
Yeah.
When there's guys on base, when we need those hits, not when the game's out of reach and, okay, you hit a home run. Whoopsie-doo.
Yeah, no, man. And I wish we had the stat. I forgot to pull it up, but we've left a lot of guys stranded on the bag with no outs, one out. I mean, even 2 outs.
And again, we're not ESPN.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not ESPN. We're not going to give you the full stats here, okay? So don't come out of like, oh, dude, we're just giving you our opinion of what we saw in the game, and that's it.
So, yeah, man, unfortunately, we dropped game 2. Jack takes the L. We lose 10-2. Series is tied 1-1.
Okay, but before we move on, let's talk about what happened with the fans, right? With the fans throwing trash onto the field,
mm-hmm.
Which, one, there's no place for that, okay? Yeah, there's no place for that. I said that earlier in my Instagram reel. You know, you can go out there, you can shout out them, you can go out there and heckle them, taunt them, do whatever you want. Do it from the stands.
Right.
Don't throw stuff onto the field because one, again, it's making you look bad, and two, you're making all of us.
Bad. Yeah, man.
You're making all of us look bad. All Dodger fans. Exactly. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, you're making us all look bad, and now we're not gonna hear the end of that.
Right.
But you flip the coin. Why is Profar entities heckling us, taunting the Dodger fans? Right?
They got confidence.
They're out there pumping their chest. They're out there mimicking them, you know, with their hand gestures. They're out there smirking at them. You're out there making conversation with them. It's cool if you're out there, you know, giving them autographs or whatever. But during the game, you ignore them. You ignore them during the game, right? Because you're not giving autographs during the game. But for them to do that and then be crying about it, oh, look, they threw that. Well, what do you expect? People are drunk. There's going to be sports fans that are drunk in every sports venue across America. It doesn't matter where you go. And if an opposing team player does that at any stadium, that could happen. That's going to happen. And even possibly even something worse is going to happen.
Yeah,
maybe somebody that's super, super drunk is going
to
jump into the field.
Tries to rush the field.
And try to rush the field. You're like, you know, but I'm not saying that I condone that, but why are they too doing that?
Yeah. No, I mean, I left here early. I went home and I finished watching the game at home. And as I see everything transpiring, I'm thinking to myself too, it's like, man, like one, we're never going to hear the end of this fans like, oh, Dodger fans are ghetto and, you know, all this other BS. Yep. I put myself in Tatis and Profar. They're confident right now. That's why they're taunting.
Yeah, they are. But they should. It's one thing to be confident, and then one thing to be stupid.
Absolutely.
And they were stupid because, again, you're a paid athlete. You're paid to play the sport, not paid to turn around and interact with fans during the game. Interact with the fans after the game when they're asking for autographs and they're asking for whatever pictures, whatever it is. But during the game, your job is not to turn around and taunt the fans and incite them into throwing stuff. No, that's not your place right there.
I understand where you're coming from, but again, I'm not condoning anything that happened last night. I thought, first of all, shout out to the Dodger security team for trying
shout
to do
to
their
them
best.
For what?
I think they did their best to control.
They made the thing whole much worse. What was the need to escort them?
Well, like you said, you don't want them to get hit with something.
No,
you're in the
freaking stadium. Look at who's throwing shit around and kick them out.
It's kind of hard.
I'm sure somebody's gonna point them out.
I'm
sure somebody said, "Hey, it's him right here." You know what? The whole row's going. The whole row is going, and then all of a sudden, somebody's gonna say, "Oh no, it was him."
Now you're gonna cause more delay because you've been to an event where they try to kick somebody out.
That's in the stands. That you can play the game with that happening in the stands. But for them to come out and surround Tatis like you ain't protecting nobody. Come on, Dodger Security, you're the worst. You're the worst, Dodger Security.
I feel like Dodger Stadium,
your security sucks.
I feel like this. The reason why security intervened, I don't know what year it was, but it was against the Blue Jays, and I forgot who they were playing in a playoff series too. And Jose Bautista was still. Remember, they started throwing a lot of junk onto the field. They delayed the game for almost an hour. I think they know that Dodgers fans are a little bit worse, a little bit more, you know, juiced up. It could have gotten worse last night. I'm honestly surprised that we didn't throw as much junk onto the field as we did. A couple of cans. You're right. We probably shouldn't have needed the whole damn security and FBI and MIB to show up to the field. But I think they shout out this guy. They did their best. Again, you got to keep players safe, man. I hate Giants. I hate Padres. I hate Diamondbacks. They're human too, though. Like you said, the last thing you want is for a dumbass who's loaded with alcohol, because we've seen those fans. We were just at a game where we almost got into it because of a Dodger fan. Rush the field and do something stupid. And guess what? Monkey see, monkey do. There's always a lot of stupid people to follow through. So again, that was just our take. Again, this is all our opinion. You guys may have a different opinion of how everything went down. Do I agree with what Tatis was doing? No. But hey, as somebody now who lives in Arizona, how many people talk shit to us out here? We're Lakers fans. We're Raiders fans. We're Dodgers fans. I'm doing exactly what Tatis is doing to all them because they're mad at us.
That's totally different.
It can't be. You cannot say
totally
that.
That's totally different. You're paid. If you're a paid athlete, okay,
They are paid. So what? They're not allowed to have emotions. There's supposed to be robots out there.
There's. Let me bring up a good point here. My Instagram account. Okay. 20,000. Shout out to all of you. Just reached 20,000. Let's go. I get a lot of hate from the hated one fans, the pobre fans, the D-back fans. And there's days where I'm like,
we live rent free in their head, though. That's why they're there.
There's days where I'm like, F it. I'm going to go at them. But then I think to myself, you know what? No. And I'm not a paid athlete.
What would Jesus do?
But I do represent the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
They don't pay me.
No.
But I am a fan of the Dodgers. Now, if I start acting ghetto at all the fans, all the comments that they put down, like, oh, blah, yeah, blah, blah, but whatever.
We're feeding into the statistics of being a Dodger
fan.
I'm
right there. So I hold back and I just, sometimes I'll comment, but I'll try to be as professional as I can with those comments, because I don't want to stoop down to the level of them, you know, saying, oh, you're a Dodger fan, even though they're acting like the idiots.
Right, right.
Right. And that's what Satish should have done yesterday. You just ignore the fans. There's no reason for you to go out there and every time they showed him, he was back mm-hmm. against the game, looking at the fans.
But again, he wasn't doing that early on when the game was close, like 3-0.
Of course,
3-1.
You're not gonna do that. You're doing it when you're ahead. But what's the point of doing it when you're ahead?
Because now you're showboating.
No,
but that's what everybody does in sports.
Showboat when you're doing your trot.
And he does. That pisses me off too. His little stutter step at third base.
His little stupid stutter step.
Yeah, that shit's annoying.
First base, or when he fucking turns around and he does all that. That's fine. You do that. That's part of the game. But don't turn around and involve the fans and then get pissed off about it when they start getting involved.
I understand what you're saying there. I do completely. But again, guys, what's your take? Obviously, we're kind of split on it. Again, I thought it was handled a little bit better. No, man, I do. It's sick, dude. Umpiring is a hard-ass job.
Security is a hard-ass job. Again, Dodger Stadium security, you suck. LAPD, you suck. It's a sporting event. Let people have fun. Yes, there are extremes, but yesterday, okay, here's a thing. So yesterday, there's a LA baseball head. I don't know if you know him.
Mm.
He goes in there with a moped. He doesn't pay for parking because it's really not a... It's
like an electric scooter.
Yeah, it's like an electric scooter. I think that's what it was. I'm not sure exactly 100% on it. I just saw his story. Four police cars, Dodger security, rush him that he didn't pay. Why not just one person and say, hey, you know what, guy? You didn't pay. You have to pay because it's kind of a motorized vehicle now. But why do we have four freaking police cars? The dude does a lot for the Dodgers. I'm sure they know who he is.
Right.
But why four police cars? And that's the thing with security, también. You know, like the idiots that jumped in game one. I don't know if you saw them. There was two guys that jumped into the stands.
We had a little
and there was 12 security guards there. They're okay. Yes. Because why? Because those guys were idiots jumping into the field when you're not supposed to. I'm just saying, there's things at Dodger games where security goes over the edge and you're not supposed to.
There's ways to handle it.
And then there's things that, hey, you do need to be aggressive because there are idiots that are doing it. But yesterday, having 20 security guards rush Profar and escorting him to the, I know I'm exaggerating, but, you know, escorting him to be safe. Come on. Really?
Okay, man.
Turn around, look at the fans, and kick those guys out. If you have to kick a whole section out, go kick him out. Because guess what? When you do that, somebody's going to turn around and say, no, it was him.
Nah, it was him. I feel, especially when alcohol's involved, which you know alcohol definitely is. You try to kick somebody out their seat. I don't know. Because I'd be pissed off if we were in that section. Now we got to go too. You know what I mean?
Guess what? It was him. It was him.
He's
I paid my, on your ass. I paid my $200. I'm not leaving. Yeah, it was him right there. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, man. So again, now, series is tied 1-1. We got Walker freaking Buehler going game three tomorrow.
Not official yet.
You assume. I mean, he's one of four starters that we announced, along with Landon being the fourth guy. Walker takes the mound, and I'm assuming they're going to throw Michael King because he's already had enough rest.
That's for sure.
That's their number two guy. How do you feel right now, confidence-wise, as not only Dave Roberts trying to figure out, okay, how do I get Mookie going? How do I get Max going?
I'm
going
to tell you
right
now, honestly, I don't feel confident at all. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, again, I'm going to go back to yesterday's game where Flaherty and Machado went at it.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't the Dodger players freaking having Flaherty's back.
Yeah, man.
I saw on TV, you see they show the Pobres dugout and they're all over there like, what's going on? You know, they're doing all that towards the Dodger dugout. And then they show the Dodger dugout. It's only Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, they even got... It pissed me off because I love Mookie. But Mookie's just sitting on the bench like sad.
Yeah,
like,
come on, man. Let's go. Show some fire. Show some emotion. Yeah, you're 0 for 2, but guess what? If you get up there and you freaking sound off and get thrown out of the game, guess what? We're going to love you for that.
Oh,
we're
going to
love you for that because you're representing the Dodgers and you're not putting your head down and crying about it.
So you're not feeling too good right now?
I'm not feeling too good about it right now because right now they have the home field advantage right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they have the home field advantage.
Yeah,
right
they now. Did their job. They took one game.
Our pitching right now is terrible. We already knew that going into it because we don't have all our guys. We don't have Stone. We don't have Glass now. You know, Kershaw's gone. I know a lot of you guys are probably happy about that, but we're not full healthy in our pitching staff.
Rotation, yeah.
Right, and Walker Buehler this year hasn't been Walker Buehler of the past.
Not at all.
His last two starts have been a little bit better.
But he's still giving up runs in the first couple innings, which isn't something you want to do in the postseason.
So hopefully he gives us something, you know. If he gives up a few runs, I'm okay. But don't give up 4, 5, 6, 7 or a bunch of home runs. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm not going to say I'm worried. I'm optimistic right now. I think the Padres did their job. They took a game from us. We got to do the same thing now, too. One thing too, kind of like there's a lot of other podcasts or, you know, like Dodger channels out there showing a Tatis, you know, doing his tongue thing and oh, the Dodgers better look at this and no, bro, don't worry about him. Worry about you. Worry about what you can do for the team. Stop worrying about one guy. Like we were saying earlier, you're feeding into his BS. You're feeding into his antics. You're only fueling him more because you're letting him get under our skin. I'm optimistic that Walker will have a good outing. I'm not asking for 100% Walker Buehler, but if we can get like a 75-80% Walker, gives us 6 solid innings, and then we get into that bullpen, great. But offensively, man, we got to pick it up. We cannot rely on just Shohei to come up. It's funny because there's a Shohei tracker that you pointed out the other day. Yeah. It's like, oh, 4 batters away, 5 batters away. It's like, bro, we got Mookie Betts on the damn team. We got Freddie, Teo, and we're counting down to get to Shohei. It's like, it's disrespectful. Yeah, like, we get it. He's a unicorn. He does some amazing-ass things, you know, at the plate.
3 batters away.
Yeah, but it's like, bro, like, that, to me, if I was his team, I'd be like, yo, bro, like, I'm Mookie Betts, too. You got to...
But you know what, Mookie Betts, you're not doing anything right now.
And I get that. But that's the type of fuel that you need.
Step up. Let's go.
Yeah, man. And yeah, so we'll see. Again, would it be great to take both of them and wrap up the series in San Diego and wave to those fans bye? Absolutely. But I think the goal right now in Dave Roberts' head and the organization, the players, front office, whoever you are, I think you're happy if you come out of that series 1-1 and you come back to a game 5 to LA.
Definitely happy. You'll take that anytime. You know, you don't want to go down there and get swept and that's it. The series is over. You want to go down there, win one.
Yeah.
You want to win one, at least one of the games. And
at least.
And hey, this podcast is brought to you by
YouTube.
No.
Whatever. State Farm.
Liberty Mutual. Let's go.
By Emu. So yeah, man, again, we'll see. Like he said, it hasn't been officially announced. Walker is the foreseeable starter for us game 3 tomorrow. And then I'm sure we're going up against Michael King. So again, you got to be optimistic. I think you're happy if you split the series. You're obviously more ecstatic if you can just somehow upset them at home and take 2 games and wrap the series up and we wait for Phillies or Mets on the other side of the bracket. But anything else that you want to close off on before we get into a couple of other topics to close out the podcast?
No, I'm just hoping that Mookie Betts wakes up, man.
He needs a Wevo cleaning, you know, or something. Yeah, he needs something, brother.
I want to see him. I want to see aggressive. I want to see somebody that's pissed off. Somebody that's pissed off.
Let me ask you this, because I was thinking, would you put him back to lead off? You think that's why?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's it. I mean, what? Is he upset that he got moved from shortstop?
I don't think it's mentally. It's just mentally, like, damn, like, not only did I got hurt, because he was an MVP candidate up until he got hurt.
Yes, but you know what? I think Shohei does much better being our leadoff hitter because he gets on and he gets over.
But how many?
He steals bases.
I get that.
Mookie
but
does not steal bases for us, so we can't have a leadoff hitter that's just gonna get a base hit.
Understand this though, and you got to look at the games. How many times does Shohei come up, and not a lot of guys are on. Granted, he did hit that tying 3-run home run, but there's a lot more times when, hey, I think it's better to have Mookie and Freddie batting before Shohei, because how many ducks on the pond did we leave the last couple of games? Tommy Edman came up and he came up short.
That's true for the first inning, but after that, Shohei's not going to lead off every single inning. It comes up here once in a while, but you know, he's not going to lead off every single inning when he comes up to bat. So
yeah.
I like the way it is right now. If Mookie was more aggressive on bases, then I would say, why not? Why not move Mookie back to the leadoff position? But then again, he's 2-for-31, I think.
Yeah.
0-for-6 this season, 0-for-11 last postseason, mm-hmm. and I think 2-for-14 the year before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way I'm moving him to leadoff. Not for that.
I mean, I want to see some change in the lineup. Again, the big question mark right now is we don't know if Freddie's going to be at first for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
That might blow us. So you're going to have to move Max there. I've been saying the whole series, as much as I love Miguel Rojas' leadership, I don't think he should be the everyday shortstop. He doesn't have a bat to do that. You got playoff Kike sitting on the bench, and I'm glad he came in to play third base. But now, hey, move CT to short. Keep Kike at third.
CT.
They have more proven bats.
CT. I'd rather have Tommy Edman move to short.
Okay, but I at least put those guys off of the bench. We need playoff Kike. That is an actual thing. Pull up Kike Hernandez's stats. That dude is just on fire every postseason whenever he's there. Like, as Dave Roberts, it's not all about analytics, guys. And that's what I want Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts, and that's why I'm so critical of them and get pissed off whenever the game is managed piss poorly. It's not just about analytics. It's about the feel. It's about, you know, the aurora, I guess, the feng shui of the state. Like, dude, there is passion. Kike brings that excitement. Teo brings that excitement. You need guys out there that are going to get you going, your hype man, the rally banana. So I just want to see some moves for the lineup change, especially if Freddie's going to be out. You're going to need to.
I totally agree with you. There's been times where they sat Gavin Lux when Gavin Lux has been hot,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting him down because he's facing a lefty.
Yeah, right. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, I don't like Gavin that much, but hey, dude, he has been a hot bat at the bottom of that order, helping us out. He had 2 or 3 hits that game one.
Yeah, you know, so it's like there's the stuff like that. I agree with you where they're. Don't look at the analytics. Don't look at, oh, it's better if a lefty faces a lefty, yeah. or a righty faces a righty. Whatever it is you're looking at, or because this guy is... No. Sometimes it's just the feel of the game. And you say, you know what?
Manage this guy some
is hot
emotion.
Right now. This guy is hot right now. I'm gonna hit him. I don't care who is pitching against him. He's hot right now. Let's face him. And like right now, again, going back to that, Mookie is just not ready to be a leadoff hitter because based...
Again, I was just trying
what
to see.
On you what, know, you're, maybe. What you're seeing. Rojas, again, team captain, I love him too. If we move Edmund to short, put Kike at third, I'm sitting down Max Muncy right now too.
You can't though, that's what I'm saying. Because
you can have Kiermaier. You can have Kiermaier up there, and hey, Kiermaier's job is to bunt. Bunt people over. If somebody's on, you're bunting.
Did he
learn
make the roster?
To bunt, huh?
He made the roster, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's on the roster. Listening. He's sitting, he's going to bunt. That's all you're going to do.
I think we're going to see a lot of change. And like yesterday, Freddie can't go.
Rojas tried a bunt. What did he do? Popped it up.
Mother ever can't bunt, man. Mother ever can't hit neither.
No, we need guys that we need to start going with small ball.
We do. You know,
small ball and being more aggressive on the bases. Mm-hmm. You can't just be Shohei being aggressive on the bases. Mookie should be aggressive on the bases, right?
CT if he gets in the lineup. Kike if you get in the lineup. Tommy, you should be aggressive in the lineup. Like, there's no way a dude, Freddie should not be stealing a bag with a high ankle sprain.
Right.
but then again, that's the emotion that I'm talking about. Him stealing it, him being called safe, that brought so much energy. And even at the end of the game, Freddie's like, dude, I'm on adrenaline right now. I don't know how I'm going to feel in about 40, 30 minutes when I come down from this high. But again, I want to see some changes. I think you got to be optimistic about game 3. We just got to hit 2, man. we got to hit, because if Walker's going to give you somewhat of any type of gem, 4 or 5 innings, you got to give him some run support, but it cannot just be from Shohei. It can't. Yeah. We're not going to win that way, guys.
All right. Hopefully we win.
But hey, wrapping it up, let's go around the MLB. Hey, the other NLDS right now, Phillies, Mets, they're going later today. If you guys are watching the podcast, 1 p.m. Eastern, I think.
Or they don't play today. They're off today, too.
No.
They play tomorrow.
Or who? Phillies, Mets, ALDS. My bad. Sorry. ALs. But hey, that series is split 1-1 right now. I think the Mets can pull it off. I think they'll do the upset. I for sure thought the Phillies had a stronger bullpen than what they've displayed as of late. Lindor, Nimmo, Pete Alonso, I know he's been getting a lot of hate. Just whatever. He might not re-sign. He might stay. He's come up with 2 clutch Oppo home runs. So, I mean, he brought them back from the dead against that Milwaukee Brewers series. That
was a crazy game yesterday. They were going back and forth. And that's what you want to see. That's playoff baseball right there.
That is great playoff baseball. So, again, they're tied series 1-1. Moving over to the ALDS, we got Detroit versus Cleveland. Cleveland just killed them, man. The Guardians are, they're consistent as hell. Like, they only got Jose Ramirez is the only guy that I know. And I think Stephen Kwan is his name. But in that, you really don't know a lot of players from the Guardians, but they're year in and year out, man. They're always there. They're sneaky to win the division. They took care of the Tigers, which, hey, shout out to the Tigers. Like, postseason baseball, like we were talking about earlier, they took out the favored by a lot Astros. That nobody saw that one coming. I definitely didn't. So shout out to them. I appreciate them for doing that.
Good. I mean, they were when we played, the Dodgers played them right before the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. They were out. They were, I think they were like 9 games
That's
out.
That's why we traded for Jack Flaherty. And they were out of it.
We got Jack Flaherty out of that. We traded Trey Sweeney over there, and he's been starting for them, and he's been doing fantastic over there.
Like a mini Corey Seager.
But yeah, you know, that's what you want to do, and they're a great baseball story right now. You know, just the way they carry. They don't have big names on that roster, but they're playing together as a team.
Exactly. And then the other ALDS game, you got Kansas City, who upset the Baltimore Orioles. So they also had an upset, and now they're playing the juggernaut in the East, which is the New York Yankees. New York is up 1-0. They do play tonight. I think they're like a 4 o'clock game Pacific time. But I got the Yankees coming out of that, too. There's just a lot of offensive fire. Their Achilles heel, too, is their pitching. Gerrit Cole hasn't been what he's been the last couple of years. So Joe Davis said it best. Every team right now that's in the LDS is, man, if we could just get through this one team right now that we're playing, nobody else is stopping us. I firmly believe that. If we could get through the Padres, I don't see any other team that's remaining knocking us out. But again, that's what he's saying. Every other team feels like that too. Like, if you can get to your current series, it's almost like a walk in the park from here on out. So
I'm gonna disagree with Joe Davis there. I don't know what I mean. Yeah, it's fine for him to say it, but let's just say we get by San Diego, mm-hmm. and Philadelphia beats New York. I think Philadelphia's a tough match.
I think
they're a tough match. They've been there before. They're still hungry too, because they want to win a World Series.
Right.
You get by them, you still got the Yankees, right? I think the Yankees are a tough team as well. Mm-hmm. Just based on their lineup. They're like kind of like us right now, right? Where their pitching is not the greatest.
It's the offense that's
carrying. But it's the offense is what's carrying them right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's other teams. Even if we get by San Diego, I think there's other teams that would give us a run for our money.
Right. Right.
But we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, first things first, we got to get by San Diego.
We do.
Before we can even think about who's down the road.
Yeah, man. And again, that's wrapping up the rest of the league. That's kind of what you want to see. You want to see every series go 5 games and just, you know, go pound for pound and beat the hell out of each other. So next round gets more interesting. But hey, again, game 3 is tomorrow. And before we get off this podcast, we want to talk a little bit about more of the other sports teams that we love and we're diehard about. Number one, the Pinche Raiders, dude. We got so much drama. And I don't know how many fans out there are the combination that we are. So we're diehard Dodger fans, Raider fans, Laker fans,
UCLA
and UCLA
Galaxy.
Yeah, we're a unique combination of a super fans there. But right now the Raiders, as always, dysfunctional. Devontae wants out. Me personally, I understand why he wants out. We don't have a franchise quarterback. We're wasting his time. I'm just trying to capitalize on getting some good value in return for him.
And I'm in a different position here. One, he knew the Raiders. He's been a Raider fan his entire life. He says when he was born, Raiders sucked. Okay, I think they had actually three good seasons, but that was when he was 2, 3, and 4. I did the kind of the math. Not right now. I just did it when he asked for the trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders have been terrible his entire life, right? And all of a sudden, you want to leave because you don't like it. Now, just say, hey, you know what? I don't like what Antonio Pierce is. I'm not liking what he does. But last year, he was, I'm going to run through a wall through for him. Well, now he sees the wall is a little too high. Now he doesn't want to run through it. You know, he's getting paid.
Play
your freaking contract out. It's not like if he's doing it for free.
Right,
if he was doing it for free, I get it. You're wasting your talents playing for free for an organization that doesn't want to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
But they paid you. They made you one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL.
Because Green Bay didn't believe in you to do that.
He's dropped a lot of passes that have been right in his hand this year. Now, for him to ask for a trade, yeah, go ahead. Ask for a trade. But you know what? Leave. I don't care. Yeah, the Raiders are terrible. But I want players that want to be there. You know, let's change that culture. And then we thought we were changing that culture last year when we got Antonio Pierce as the interim coach. And we said, hey, all right, fine, let's give him the job. And it doesn't look like it's going our way again this year.
I mean, I don't think it's AP. First of all, everybody knows that the dysfunction of the Raiders starts with Mark Davis. Honestly, the dude messed up moving us to Vegas. And you can be split about that. I personally think we messed up going to Vegas. We should have gone to L.A. It never feels like a home game.
The NFL didn't want the Raiders. The Cowboys. Look it up. The Cowboys did not want the Raiders in L.A. Because the Raiders...
Jerry Jones would have scared us.
The Raiders can be the Raiders, and we all know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But the Raiders they sell. They sell. We do. They have a good fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Whether look right now, they're terrible, and they have a great fan base. Yeah. Imagine the fan base when the Raiders are good.
Imagine. That's all we can do because we haven't been good.
And that's what Jerry Jones did not want. He did not want the Raiders moving to LA where they knew he knew they were going to be even more popular
than the Cowgirls.
Than supposedly America's team.
America's ass.
Right? So he blocked it. He picked it. He says, hey, why don't we not allow the Raiders to move there? And we can get the Rams and the Chargers to move together and share a stadium.
Pinche. Yeah, no, and I only bring that up because, again, it's just Mark Davis he's toxic, bro. Like, honestly, he doesn't know how to run the damn team. I think he does a great job running the Las Vegas Aces. They got a couple of WN championships now. But as far as football, this dude is clueless. But unfortunately, I don't see him selling the team anytime soon.
He hires people to do that. He's not like, I don't think he's physically doing that. And I think he's made some good hires.
Also some stupid hires. John Gruden's contract. Yes, oh, Josh McDaniel's contract.
He's had some good hires where they know football. It's just not panning out. It's just the Raider way.
It all starts. We don't have a franchise quarterback. And back to your point, Devontae did know we suck. But guess what? His best friend was a quarterback when we got him the first year. Josh McDaniel wants to change direction, get away from Derek Carr, which I'm happy about because I got tired of Derek Carr playing like ass. But all of a sudden now, he's a top five quarterback this year because him and the Saints are killing it. That's also an option for Devontae to go there. I think once the Raiders find out their franchise quarterback, whether it's via free agency or in the upcoming draft, then things will start to settle. But until we get a franchise quarterback, the Raiders is going to continue to be the Raiders. And Raider fans are going to continue to stay loyal, man. Again, we rep that shield. I got it tatted on me. We just went to our first Vegas game a couple weeks ago against the Panthers, the freaking Panthers, which were the only team that apparently can't beat them this year. But yeah, hey, that's the Raiders report for today. As for UCLA, we didn't pick the Trojans. We were talking about that the other day. Like, yo, Pop, you had so many choices to choose from, and you picked UCLA. And UCLA is a great basketball school. And I'm sure that's why we did it, because I think we're into basketball a lot more than we are into football. But damn, man, we freaking suck right now as a football program.
It's a new coach. It's a new system. I think the system is just too advanced for the players coming in right now.
What? We had, you know, Chip Kelly. That dude's running shotgun and like.
I know, but it's, this is a, so you're learning a whole new system now. And one, your players that are there, they're not all yours. So it takes time for you to build a program.
It doesn't
on what you, on what your vision is, because now you inherit it. It's like me trying to build a house, a Lego thing, from pieces that somebody else started. Right? I don't know where they're at.
But you know how easy it is now with the NIL and the transfer portal, dude. It just takes a year to get the right pieces.
It's
he had a whole off season.
It does, but it doesn't. It takes a whole lot to get a buy-in from other people. And that's where I think Chip Kelly kind of messed up, because his first year he recruited very well,
mm-hmm.
and then it just didn't go the way he wanted to, and you started getting less and less talented recruiters. Instead of 5 stars, you know, you didn't get 4 stars and 3 stars, and now you're stuck with only 2 and 3 stars.
Yeah,
and that's where I think Chip Kelly was at, because at the first year he was recruiting five, he got 5 stars. We were like, hey, we're top 10 in the recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year we're like in the middle of 20. Then we dropped up to 30, and then now we're in the top 50.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks. And right now with Deshaun Foster, hopefully he can start getting – being in the Big Ten is a big deal.
It is huge, man.
You know, because honestly, all those teams are good, and you have all these kids that want to go play at Auburn, you know,
Ohio
Michigan. They want to go play at all these places. I said Auburn, and I meant Auburn, Michigan, not Auburn as the school, Auburn.
Yeah.
Right? They want to go play there. So hopefully now you can start getting kids like, hey, you know what? You can stay home and you're still going to go play at Michigan.
Yeah, you're
still going to go play at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, you know, as long as we can compete, you can stay at home. You can have your family here every single game and keep those kids that are in the LA area home. Yeah. But then you got to compete against USC, which is, they're going to do the same thing. And they're a football school. So
yeah, they're
we'll see. But yeah, again, given in time, yes, we're terrible this year. Let's move on.
But again, yeah, we're loyal. And last but not least, man.
No, we have two more.
Oh, sorry. Basketball season for us is here.
Start it. Let's go.
I am excited. I know there's a lot of critics. There's a lot of haters on the whole Bronny and Bron thing.
Yeah, I don't
know. A lot of people feel like we should have never drafted Bronny. Obviously, it was an agenda that was filled. But it's still cool to see history in the making. Like, I mean, shit, LeBron is year 22 and his son is year 1, and they're on the same team. They're repping the purple and gold, and I think LeBron said it best: don't put expectations on us early. Like, we got to figure it out. We got a new coach in JJ Redick, which I believe in. I like the hire. And again, we can agree to disagree, but I think JJ's a player's coach. He's going to figure it out. I definitely don't think Darvin Ham did justice to the lineup that we had. There was a lot of questionable substitutions and rotations that were being called throughout the games last year. A lot of games that we should have finished strong, but we keep subbing too many guys out and getting guys out of their flow. So we are 0-2 in the preseason this year. But it's just preseason, guys. Like, I think LeBron and AD
did
played
we lose last night.
We did. We ended, but again, LeBron and AD, they stopped playing after the first half. So I mean,
I thought we had the game. It was
We were up big time. We don't.
Well, not big time. We're up, I think, like 9.
Our role players are still developing, man. Max Christie, I think at first I was kind of like, this kid sucks. He doesn't have a jump. But he looks good this year. Jalen Hood Schifino, he looks a little bit better. I think he just needs more minutes. One thing that I've noticed in the preseason, we need a big guy to back up AD. We do. When AD goes out the game, the lengthy guys that we have now, they're just not strong enough. They're being bullied, and they can't shoot. Like, if it's not a lob to the rim or an easy layup, there's no offense going on at all. And we cannot, same thing, we cannot rely on a almost 40-year-old LeBron to carry the damn Lakers, dude. We can't.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I know a lot of people hate LeBron, but dude,
we hated him too. Shit.
Yeah, we did. We did hate him. We hated him until he came over. He was one
Kobe, of Lakers all day. We didn't believe
Kobe,
in it.
Kobe over Kobe greater than LeBron. I still believe that right now. First, going back to the Bronny thing, I don't like it. I think we could have used our pick for somebody that was going to help the team.
Mm.
Bronny went to SC. He was terrible at SC. He was great at college. I mean, high school. But he was terrible in college,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And granted, he had his little heart palpitation thing. But still, he wasn't terrible. He wasn't a highly like ranked kid coming out of high school.
And the only reason why he's talked about so much is because the name in the back.
James.
He's his dad, you know, and it sucks. But he doesn't live up to the expectations. And it's going to be hard to live up to those expectations, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, Magic Johnson has kids too. Let's not talk about that. Michael Jordan has kids too.
They're not basketball guys.
It's hard to live up to your father's expectations, right? Like you, man, you know?
I will never, ever live up to the mask or in this right? world, guys.
But yeah, it's hard. And I just feel that, I think we could have drafted somebody better, okay?
We could have.
The coach, terrible hire.
I believe in you, buddy.
Terrible hire.
Don't let this hater stop you from dreaming
why
big.
Not get somebody that had NBA experience? There's so many guys out there that could have NBA experience. And I get it. They wanted to go with a new... the guy has no coaching experience whatsoever. He didn't coach a high school team. He didn't coach a college team. He was a good college player.
And he was a solid NBA guy.
Solid NBA player, but that doesn't make... Magic Johnson was a great college player.
But you don't need to...
Magic Johnson was a great NBA player.
Okay, here.
But Magic Johnson sucked.
Here is this for you, though. I was never a great athlete in high school. The only thing I could do is hit. I never really touched the field. I think I'm a pretty damn good coach when it comes to helping these kids grow and going to the next level. You don't have to be great at your sport to be a coach. You got to be passionate. Okay, you got to understand the game. Okay,
but this is not the Clippers.
It doesn't matter who
this
it is.
This is not the Clippers. This is the Lakers. And to give the Laker job to him.
He's a young.
What's his name?
J.J. Redick. Don't be a hater, please.
Sorry. No, for real. Honestly, I totally forgot who I was talking about. J.J. Redick. If the Clippers would have hired. Who's the bad NBA team right now? Who's a terrible NBA team?
Terrible? Hornets?
No, the worst.
Hornets? I would say it's the Hornets. Pistons. Sorry, Pistons. Okay.
If the Pistons would have hired J.J. Redick, cool. You know what? Hey, they're both going to learn on the job. But you're giving it to the Lakers. Yes, the Lakers have been terrible for a few years, but the Lakers have 17 NBA championships. Mm-hmm. 17. Second mm-hmm. most to our hated one, the rivals, Boston.
Bastards.
But you don't give a job like the Lakers to a guy that has no experience whatsoever.
Oh, but back then when they gave it to Pat Riley, it was okay.
Pat Riley was at least a coach. He was a coach.
But he was a nobody.
But he was a coach.
He wasn't a good coach.
But he was learning.
He was an okay player. Where did he go? Kentucky or Duke?
Again, hasn't coached high school. Wasn't an assistant coach in high school.
Don't need it.
What did he do? He hasn't done anything. He hasn't coached at all. If he was an assistant at the Lakers organization last year.
I think you're...
If he was an assistant last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we fired... What's his name? And he interviewed mm-hmm. and he knocked it out of the ballpark because, hey, I was an assistant. I know the system. I know I know our players. I know what we can get us there. Cool. Okay. I would have, not happy, but I would have said, you know what? He was there. This dude has not coached anybody. He wasn't coaching last year. Didn't coach high school. He hasn't coached college. He hasn't coached an NBA team. He hasn't been an assistant coach. Now you're going to give him the Laker job?
Is it my turn?
No.
Is it my turn, Skip?
No.
Is it my turn, Skip?
Give him the Pistons.
Come on,
let
now,
him
Skip.
Push the Pistons, but not the Lakers. Not the Lakers.
It's not JJ's fault. And think about it like this. It's lit GM. No, but honestly, there's not a lot of people out there that want to play with LeBron. Klay Thompson burned us this year. We thought we were getting Klay Thompson, and Mark Cuban and Klay, pretty much they didn't want to play with LeBron. Not a lot of people want to come in and coach LeBron because LeBron is the coach. Like the Lakers have given LeBron the keys to run the organization since he's been. And that's great because he brought us the bubble in 2020 championship. Cool. He hasn't done anything else. But until LeBron leaves, and again, guys, I'm not a LeBron hater. I'm appreciative of what he's done for the organization since Kobe's passing and Kobe left. That's the only winning we've had. That was the bright side of the Lakers is we got LeBron and then we traded for Anthony Davis. But nobody really wants to play with him. And again, but that's not J.J. Redick's fault. Not a lot of coaches want to be the fall guy to get fired every year because we're not getting rid of LeBron until LeBron says he's ready to go. But we'll fire Darvin Ham 2 years into a 4-year contract for him. We will point the finger at anybody else but LeBron. But LeBron really is to blame as to why we can't get other stars to want to come and play, why we can't get supporting guys to come and want to play.
Before LeBron was here, people weren't coming to LA.
Right, but because it was dysfunctional.
So,
but now no, people don't want to play with
it's
him.
It's not dysfunctional. The Lakers aren't the Raiders. The Lakers are not the Raiders. No,
Mitch Kupchak towards later years when Mitch Kupchak is out here.
The
Pop,
Lakers
come on, man.
Are not
Luol Deng's contract. Remember that contract?
That is not. No, you can't associate both. Now here's where I'm gonna get. Here's where I'm gonna get to you. Okay. One, I don't like the GM, Pelinka.
No, but that was Kobe's hire.
That was Kobe's hire.
And Kobe wasn't even there, but Kobe was close to Genie. So, hey, Genie, Rob, I think he'll be a great GM.
The only thing that the two organizations have in common right now is that they are owned and run by a family.
Greedy-ass family, too.
Not greedy-ass family. The Lakers aren't a greedy-ass family.
I'm not greedy.
No. You cannot compare Genie.
I'm not comparing Genie to
you
Mark.
You cannot compare Genie to Mark Davis.
Genie is definitely better than Mark.
Genie has
by landslide.
Genie has done everything she can to get to that role.
But Genie defers a lot. That's the problem. Genie defers a lot. Like, Genie needs to... Like,
you need that.
You can't hire, I grew up with Magic Johnson. And then, look, Magic left after a year because, I can't talk and do all this other crap. Rob Pelinka stabbing me in the... Like, bro, you got to get people that are actually basketball-minded. You're not going to work to build friendships. You're there to work and accomplish something. I don't go to work every day to be sociable and say, hey, how was your day? How's your weekend? Is it cool? Is it nice showing up to a workplace where, hey, you're friendly? Absolutely. But once you start mixing family and business, it doesn't work. And that's why people tell you that all the time.
That's where Genie has gone wrong. And she's trusted a lot of the people in her inner circle.
Like Kurt Rambis shouldn't be there either, bro. Like, kick the boot already.
I was just going to say him.
I'm tired of him.
Kurt Rambis and his wife should not be giving Genie any...
Yeah, dude, like, what is... Things. Kurt Rambis was a role player, bro. Right. You weren't even a superstar. Like, you're known for getting fucking clotheslined by, I don't know, who clotheslined him from the Celtics?
What's his name? He was an NBA coach.
That's what you're known for. They play... Every time the playoffs happen, they show that damn clip of you getting knocked off to the ground. So, I don't know.
The Lakers and the Raiders...
Absolutely,
totally different.
Yeah, 17 to but what? Again, 3-4 rings.
But again,
yeah.
we're going there because Genie, this hire was bad. JJ Redick should not be a coach here.
We need to have a fall guy. That's why they did it. Because until LeBron leaves, it's a fall guy.
JJ Redick should have been hired at a college first before he was even mentioned as an NBA player. And
I disagree.
Again, I don't want to see the Lakers fail because I'm a Laker fan. But if they have to fail in order to get rid of JJ Redick, and I hope they fail because I'm going to be wrong. No. I hope they win a championship with JJ Redick. Mm-hmm. I hope they do.
We will. 18.
I hope JJ Redick comes in and he freaking out-coaches everybody.
Coach of the year.
And he proves us wrong and we're like, damn, JJ Redick is a freaking awesome guy.
You're my boy,
but again, going into hiring a guy, why hire somebody out of the street that has that says that, I'm a good NBA coach.
Just told you. It's the LeBron effect. Nobody wants to be with LeBron as much. Nobody wants to play with him. It's not the Lakers. I just don't think people want to play. Anyways, moving on. And these are your two topics because I'm not a big hockey guy. I'm not a big soccer guy. But obviously.
LA Galaxy. Yeah. Let's go. LA Galaxy just won on Saturday again. Undefeated at home.
Woo!
This season. They have one game remaining. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can... lock up the number one seed and get all their home games at home because they're not that good on the road, but they're really good at home. And getting that number one seed at home.
Go football.
Let's go. Ricky Puig. Sorry, I love to call him Puig because of Puig. But it's Ricky Puig. Gabriel Peck. We got Marcus Royce Paintsil. Dude, this team. Oh, and I can't forget Jack. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Jovic. I'm going to call him Jovic. Dude, this team offensive-wise is just fun to watch, you know? Mm-hmm. You could be down 2-0 like they've been a couple times or 1-0, whatever it is, and they'll find a way to win. They were down 2-0 against the LAFC, big game, and they came back to win 4-2. They were just down this weekend against, I believe it's Colorado, and they came back to win. I mean, this team is just fun to win. Can't wait for the playoffs. And this team, from not making the playoffs the year before, they're going to make the playoffs this year. I mean, they've improved big time. They got rid of their GM. They got rid of their GM, which a lot of fans protested. They weren't showing up to the games because they wanted this guy fired, and that's what they need to do. Damn. If you want something done, you protest. You don't show up. Don't show up and give them your money.
We should stop showing up to Raider games.
To the Raider games. You want Mark Davis to sell the team? Don't show up to the Raider games. And look, something will happen. I'm just saying. And then we'll see. Kings hockey just started preseason. I'm not.
Go Kings, go.
I love hockey.
Never been to a game.
But I'm not into it. Like, I'm not passionate about, like, I know all everybody who's played. I mean, I know a few of the players.
We got Wayne Gretzky jerseys. That's it. That's all I got.
I mean, I love watching the games when they're wherever they're possible. I think that's the only one that we don't buy.
Yeah, we don't.
The NBA package. We buy the NFL package. We buy the MLB package. We just don't buy the hockey package.
Yeah,
it's just too much going on. I mean, not a lot. But whatever. And that's all we got, man. That's all we got.
It was great talking. Great to be back. And hopefully we keep the ball rolling and stay steady throughout the postseason. And as always, guys, let's go Dodgers.
All right, game three, Tuesday. Game three, Wednesday. Thursday, we want to do another one.
We can
talk about game three and four.
We'll try to do our best. And hopefully we come out victorious, guys.
Let's go.
Light your candles and say a little prayer. That's it, baby. Let's go Dodgers. Until next time, everybody.
Let's go Dodgers. Let's go.